Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Ah, he guideth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Ah, thou anointest my head with oil. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the beautiful 23rd Psalm. Quoted to perfection? No, not really. Not even in the arrangement of the words. And certainly in the sentiment of the psalm itself. Friends, it is so important. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life consists of his thoughts. There's no question. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's biblical. Proverbs 23 at verse 7. And this beautiful 23rd Psalm contains only 118 words in the King James, 116 in the American Standard, the reason for that being the Lord is used twice in this psalm, and the American Standard translates that Jehovah, so that reduces two words, but then doesn't change the meaning of the psalm at all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's emphasize that each word just for a moment. The Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, all about verse 4, that there may be God's many and Lord's many. Oh, but friend, to us, to those who understand who they are and their relationship to the one who supplies every good and every perfect gift, James chapter 1, verse 17. Oh, there's one Lord. There's no question. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the Son of God. This is the one set forth as the Redeemer of mankind in this inerrant, inspired, divine, all-sufficient, totally authoritative revelation. You know, there are many religious books in the world today, and many millions of people follow some of them. And that doesn't make them true. That doesn't mean that the content, the teaching thereof originated with God. No, sir. The Biblios, the book of books, the Bible, it is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Well, now, someone said, just a minute, preacher. When you compare all of these other books that claim to be of divine origin, miraculously provided, how do you know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God in opposition to all of the... Oh, friend, all you have to do is read it with an open mind. Pay attention to what it is saying. Man cannot predict the future out of the question. This book does. Hundreds of times. Accurately, without a single doctrinal error. And there is not one contradiction in this book. Oh, and it describes me better than I know myself. It enables me to understand who I am and what I need. No. A human production cannot do that. The Bible is the Word of the Almighty God. There's no question about that. So the Lord, not a Lord, no. The Lord, Lord of heaven and earth. That's interesting, isn't it? I remember that John said in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. Oh, and verse 14 identifies that Word. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Him whom we know as Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth. Yes, this is the Lord whom I follow, whose I am, who blesses my life every day. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you recall Hebrews chapter 1, God having of olden times spoken unto the fathers in divers portions and divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the effulgence of his glory, the very image of his substance, listen, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification for sin. Wait, what? Upholding all things by the word of his power. How does this earth continue to move in mathematical precision? How does it continue to provide what man needs? How does night follow day and summer follow spring? How is it that the fertility of the soil is maintained? How does the sun warm the earth exactly the same way in the fall and in the spring? He upholds all things by the word of his power. The Lord, that's the one who blesses my life. The Lord is. No question about that. You know, even if I denied him, if I refused to acknowledge him, I still breathe his air. Still drink his water. I still eat his food. I still wear his clothing. I walk upon his footstool. I dwell literally in the hollow of his hand. And one day, I'll stand before him to give account. Friends, I want to say by faith, the Lord is. There is no question about that. The Lord is my shepherd. But notice that next word. The Lord is my shepherd. Interesting, isn't it? You know, today, if we look about us, and we live in turbulent times, there's no question. And there are matters of concern all about us. And when we see the lack of morality, and it would appear from statistical information that things are going down, men are becoming more and more immoral, and consequently in their conduct more and more irrational. Homicides are increasing in certain areas. It is amazing. We began to think, if we aren't careful, with the pressure brought to bear by all of these negative circumstances, man, I don't stand a chance. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I remember, we've talked about that statement in John chapter 21, haven't we? Yes, sir. He told Peter, follow me. Well, old Peter turning and seeing that disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one, you remember, that leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him said, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now listen, verse 22, John chapter 21. Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Salvation, then, is an individual matter. I've made up my heart and mind that I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Somebody says, that's who you call it. Anything you want to. Suits me fine. Has to do with the destiny of your soul, however. And if what you say is counter to this book, I try to correct it. I try to do it in love. I want you to be saved eternally, but that's your decision. My decision is follow the Lord. That's it. Salvation is an individual matter. Don't you be overcome by the existing circumstances. Don't you allow the weight of sin that characterizes our society and the terrible events that occur to overpower your life. No, sir. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. You are an individual entity. You will live forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I've made up my mind that I'm going to walk with him. And if everything on earth has to be destroyed, fine. Bad, but fine, as far as my salvation is concerned, because the Lord is my shepherd. But notice that next word. The Lord is my shepherd. That's marvelous, isn't it? I am the sheep of his pasture. Right. He is the shepherd of my life. True. It's so interesting. You could go just most anywhere in the Word of God and see the value of that concept, this principle, the Lord is my shepherd. I remember that he said in that familiar passage, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 19, lay not up yourself treasured upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal. Lord, what are you telling me? But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Friends, when I give my heart to the Lord, oh, he supplies my needs every day. Yes, no question about that. I don't have to call and question the love of the shepherd for his sheep. No, sir. There's no, the Lord is my shepherd. Then he provides for my welfare continually. Oh, that's true. Isn't that what he said? Didn't he go on there to say, no man can serve two masters? He'll either love the one, hate the other, hold one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he said, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? And then he gave me an illustration. He said, behold the fowl of the air, they sow not, and neither do they reap and gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they, O ye of little faith? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Behold the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Friends, it's so important that I realize that the Lord is my shepherd. And the shepherd loves and provides for the sheep. Oh, but then that last clause in this particular statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is to me most amazing. And it's been true all of my life. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Consequently, I shall not want. He supplies all of my needs. Oh, he satisfies my spiritual longings. Oh, he anchors my soul in hope. He gives me the assurance that things are well in our relationship. No. He doesn't protect me or keep me with some miraculous power from harm in this old world. No. He doesn't keep the old body from growing old. No. He doesn't keep the encroachments of disease and physical problems. Oh, no. This is typical of this old world. That's why we've given our lives to him. That's why we, in faith, have become the sheep in his pasture, so that he can be our shepherd. So despite all the limitations and the weaknesses of the flesh, the Lord is my shepherd. Consequently, I shall not want. Didn't Paul say in Romans 8 at verse 28 that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose? Right. Well, now someone said, preacher, you've just been talking about some things that are not good. I mean, if these things happen to Christians, you're talking about this physical realm. Friend, this won't last. This is temporary. We're here but for a brief period. That's why the Lord made the statement that would seem foolish to a lot of people, of course, in Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear not him who can destroy the body, and after that hath no more that he can do, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, Lord, are you saying that I should just, smile and say, yeah, pull the trigger, or no problem, I'm not... No. We preserve our lives. Fear is a built-in safety mechanism. Man that has no fear is a fool, and he doesn't live very long under dangerous circumstances, the very idea. Courage is not the absence of fear. No. Courage is the ability to function despite one's fears. So what is he actually saying here in Matthew 10, verse 28? Friends, when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, I mean right down to the... You don't have to worry about this physical man. You're going to die anyway. It is appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9, 27. What I need to be concerned about is the latter portion of that verse, after death, the judgment. That's what he's saying in Matthew 10, verse 28. Don't worry so much about the material man, and don't even be overly concerned about the fact that a man could take your life. Hey, that's all he could do. You just take this physical life. Well, that's going to go anyway. And that won't last very long. So don't place the emphasis on the material that would create fear in your heart. That's what he's saying. Trust the Lord. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul. And in other words, so conduct your life so that you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that wonderful? When the time comes to depart this old world, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1 at verse 21. We understand that. Death for the child of God is but a transition into an infinitely better relationship. So we're not to place the emphasis on the mundane, upon the earthbound. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, you remember, said, once I was young, and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. I'm not sure where that is. Maybe Psalm 27, verse 3. Check it out. Check it out. It's in the Psalms. What did you say, David? Oh, once I was young, and now I'm old. He's lived a long period of time. What did he say? I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's marvelous, isn't it? You know, when the Axis surrendered Monday morning, May 7th, it was 2:41 in the morning. And the Axis powers surrendered to the Allied forces. Europe was destroyed. That madman Hitler, born 1889, committed suicide at age 57, 1945. Just about the time that surrender took place. But then the Allied armies began to round up all of the homeless children in Europe, and that was a tremendous task. I mean, bringing these children who had lost their parents and some separated from them and everything about them in a state of chaos and total destruction. The Allied forces, in love, gathered up the children of Europe. They were bathed. They were clothed. They were kept in security and safety with a shelter over their head. And they were well fed. But they didn't sleep. They were restless. They had been through too much. The psychological makeup, the mind, could not find peace. Do you know how the Allies took care of most of that night restlessness and fear? They put a piece of bread. After they had fed the children and bedded them down, they put a piece of bread in the hand of each child. Assurance for tomorrow. Friends, I have that assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The sheep instinctively know that the Lord has made adequate preparation for tomorrow. He did well today. He provided for us today. And so, tomorrow. I need to give my life to the Good Shepherd. He makes adequate preparation. You know, when you stop to think about it, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, just 10 words, adequate. That's the only logical, scientific explanation for the origin of this material universe. But you know, Isaiah told us that he created the earth to be inhabited. Why, sure. So before we were ever cold from the severe winter weather, God placed coal, oil, fuel in the earth so that I could be warm. He made adequate preparation. Wonderful, isn't it? And before the pangs of hunger really took over, God put the fertility in the soil to produce sustenance, food for his crowning creature, man. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He has always provided for the sheep of his pasture. It's a wonderful thing when you really stop to think about those 118 words, King James Version, of the 23rd Psalm. Friends, it will change your entire life. Let me recommend that you read it. No, don't quote it. Oh, sure, you know the 23rd Psalm. I know the 23rd Psalm. Might reverse a few statements occasionally, as we have, but no. You and I know the 23rd Psalm. Don't quote it from memory. No. Open your Bible. Sit down. Take your time. Read the 23rd Psalm carefully and slowly. Friend, it'll change your life. It will change your thinking. It will enable you to depend upon Him who is the Good Shepherd, because when you raise up and look about you, how much power do I have over the external circumstances that surround me? Oh, I trimmed the brush out of the fence rows. Sure. Yeah, I've cut wood for my outdoor wood burning furnace. And I, you know, go to the barn, feed, and we do these. But I have no absolute assurance. I am not the master of my fate. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. The Lord does. Yes, sir. Read the 23rd Psalm. Read it slowly and carefully. Pay attention to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know that most of the worry and care and concern of people has to do with tomorrow? It is amazing how we waste a day thinking about tomorrow. Some people waste this day regretting what they didn't do yesterday. Jesus said, "Be not anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Isn't that the last verse of Matthew chapter 6, about verse 34? Check it out. Think about it. What's that? Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow will be anxious for it. Hey, I'll still be here by God's grace tomorrow, and I'll still confront the same duties and responsibilities that I have to. Hey, just do it a day at a time. You remember in Mark chapter 16, at the beginning of the chapter, now the Lord, of course, rose early on the first day of the week. Now these women, Mary Magdalene, others with her, came to the tomb early on the first day of the week. They had kept the Sabbath. They were Jews. They lived under the law of Moses. And, of course, unaware that that had been completed now in the resurrection of Christ, as we learn in the Great Commission. But that's another sermon or lesson altogether. But these women, having kept the Sabbath early on the first day of the week, came to the tomb. But, you know, on the way, they were discussing among themselves, now, who'll roll away the stone? I mean, how are we going to get to his body to anoint it? How friends, they missed the flowers that bloomed along the way on that early spring morning. And they didn't hear the song of the songbirds that came to grace their way. They didn't really pay attention to the beauty of the sunrise. They missed out on the real circumstances that prevailed. Why? Worry. Anxiety. Who's going to roll away? When they got there, the stone was rolled away. Isn't it amazing? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, then He'll provide. I shall not want. Oh, then that's what Paul actually is talking about in Philippians 4, isn't it? In verse 4, when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Hey, Paul, man, there's so many things in this world that are negative, that are destructive. I mean, causes of anxiety and worry. How can I rejoice? The Lord's here. What? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, "In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And the result of that, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." That's marvelous. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies all of my real needs. Well, sure, I have duties and responsibilities, and He expects me to be the best employee on the job, no question, because I'm not working with eye services, men pleasers. No. I'm working to represent His Son upon the earth, so I'll do the best job I can because I'm seeking to please God. In every physical rep, that's it. Give your life to the Lord. He's the good shepherd. Friends, the comprehensive, all-prevailing power of that first line of the 23rd Psalm is amazing, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? Oh, He'll provide for the sheep. We see that, do we not? And we know that in a practical way. The shepherd loves the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So then, when I order my life by His instruction, when I give myself in humble obedience to His will, I am of His fold. I hear His voice, and I follow Him, for I am a sheep in His flock. And His sheep hear His voice, and they follow Him. Oh, that's what He teaches us, isn't it? My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10, verse 27. So then I need to make up my mind that I'm going to walk in His footsteps. He's my shepherd.